Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad to be here in the studio this evening. It is Sunday, October 6, 2024, and the year is just going by so quickly. It's hard to believe we're in the 10th month of the year already. And we're here every Sunday on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m., and we're grateful to Ray Powers for keeping us here week after week for many years now.
Not many people would do what he does.
Very true.
He lets us speak the truth of God's word without any censure.
Yeah. You know? A lot of people, you know, we get censored with some of the things that we say.
Yeah.
I've been invited to a number of churches to speak over the years, and they've never told me, you can't say this, but they would tell me what they would prefer me to talk about.
Right.
Because, you know, some of the doctrines that we teach here and understand from the Bible don't agree with a lot of mainstream churches, let's face it. And I'm grateful also very much so to Ray for just letting the chips fall where they may.
Letting us to speak the words God's Word, the Bible.
That's it. And so this platform has really been just a marvelous way that we could just preach the gospel of the Bible and just have people, if they want to hear it, they can tune in. And if they don't, they can tune out.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that choice.
Right.
So anyway, here in the United States, things are changing so quickly that we might lose those freedoms as time goes on. It seems that this is the way Bible prophecy even points us,
right,
that we're going to lose those
freedoms.
And this
would not be something new.
True.
If you think back to the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, I've been studying a little bit about John Wycliffe.
Mm.
He's the man who interpreted or translated the scriptures into English.
Okay.
And it made a huge difference in people's lives. They began to know what the truth of God's word, and it affected how they lived their lives. And it was actually the foundation, the beginning of the Protestant Reformation.
Hmm. You know, the Bible should transform our lives.
Yes.
And it should change us. It should make us different people. We're going to talk about that today, aren't
we,
in this Bible study. And so, and how people can recognize those things by how we are,
right,
by how the Bible has transformed us. But, you know, before we get to that study, this is such an interesting topic. Lots of things are going on in the world today. And, you know, we like to keep our eye on Bible prophecy.
Well, things are going on in the world, especially in the United States right now, that are out of our men's control.
Absolutely.
Look at all the disaster from this hurricane that came
through. Yeah, you know, we received, just to let the folks know, we're in Virginia, and just over a period of 8 days, we have received about 12 inches of rain.
Yeah.
And
but that's nothing compared to the 30 inches in North Carolina and Tennessee.
It's devastated.
Even Southwest Virginia was pretty much impacted, too.
Yeah, it is. Lots of things are going on worldwide.
Yeah.
On a worldwide basis. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope before we get started.
Prophecies of Hope is just a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. We meet on Wednesday evenings for prayer/Bible study, and we meet on the Sabbath, or Saturday, the seventh day of the week, to have our church service. We have a Bible study at 9:30, and our worship hour begins at 11. And if you wish to join us, you can live on stream on Sabbath, starting at 11 on the Prophecy of Hope, Prophecies of Hope website. And then we also are available via Zoom for both Bible studies.
Yeah.
And so if you'd like to join us on Zoom, email us and we'll send you a link.
And your email, Ed?
My email is ed@prophecyhope.com.
And mine is mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can send us a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. I sound a little hoarse today. I want to apologize for that. I wonder why it's horse and not cow or something like that.
You know? Oh, no.
I prefer one of those clean animals. anyway, so I want to apologize for the voice. Maybe it'll clear up as we go on a little bit. I'm not sure. But I think that's all the business. The website is prophecyhope.com, right? www.prophecyhope.com. Okay. Right. If you want to check us out or stream, or if you also, there are hundreds of sermons there, and we've posted the Bible series that we did just 2 weeks ago. That has been posted online.
And there's some old radio programs, so you can hear what Mark used to sound like.
Before I became hoarse. So anyway, you also, in some of the older programs, you'll hear Rick. Mm-hmm. Rick still speaks. You know, he's still part of this ministry, a vital part of this ministry. It's just that our schedules don't always work at the same time. And sometimes we're going to work it to where maybe all three of us can get in here together. So before we start, Ed, would you open with prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we again thank you for this opportunity to come together via technology where we can open your word and study what it has to say. Father, as we read these things today, help us to understand them, give us wisdom and knowledge, but also help us to apply them to our lives. Please guide us by the Spirit of Truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we've been going through this Sermon on the Mount now for weeks, and it's amazing the information that's here. This little short sermon that's recorded for us that Jesus gave in the book of Matthew, and there's just it's just filled with gems of Bible truth in it. And so we left off last week. I think we had talked about the narrow way.
Yes.
And, you know, I wanted to say this the other week. You and I, we were out one time and right here in the neighborhood, the local neighborhood. And do you remember what happened? We were giving out invitations to the Bible series.
Right. And we came to a street corner.
Yeah, we did.
And there's a street sign that said, the straight and narrow or something like that.
There was, we were on Straight Street.
Okay.
And then we walked up there probably, I don't know, maybe 100 yards or so, maybe not that far. And to the right was a sign that said, Narrow Way.
Yeah.
So it was so funny. Ed pointed it out. I hadn't even noticed it. So we were on the straight and narrow right there. And that's just about a block and a half from where there are churches.
Yes.
And years ago, I used to live on Straight Street. That was my first apartment when my wife and I got married.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, talking about the straight and narrow way, last week we discussed how so many people, we look as Christians and we kind of think, well, you know, all of these people are going to be saved. Look at all of these people. But Jesus, while we do believe many people will be saved, when you look at it collectively, all of the people who have ever lived, it's really very few that make it. And we kind of went back and looked at the accounts in the Bible where, like in Noah's day, how many survived that flood?
Eight people.
Out of likely millions of people that were alive, only eight survived. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, there were only a few.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are things that as Christians we need to think about. Am I on that narrow path? Am I on that straight way?
Yes.
And you know, it's not always easy to find.
And you're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it with churches that make sin okay.
Correct.
You're not going to find it watching TV or online even. There's a lot of garbage that the world puts out there.
Absolutely. YouTube. There's a lot there's good things on YouTube, but there are some horrific things on YouTube.
If you want to find the way, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you want to find out about Jesus Christ, simply open your Bible and read about him.
Yes. And you know, if you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll try to get a Bible to you.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure you have a copy. Also, you know, talking about this narrow way and this straight way and this, you know, he says this road to destruction is wide and many are on it. But the road to life is very narrow, and it's crowded because it's so narrow. It's not crowded with a lot of people. It's just crowded because it's so narrow. And this is not a popular message that this ministry preaches, because so many want to hear the good and the prosperity. But we're going to identify today some of the things that put us on that narrow road. What Jesus, these are Jesus' words, friends.
Right.
This isn't the words of Ed and Mark.
You know, these words are words of instruction. as well as words of warning.
Yes. So we're going to pick up here in Matthew chapter 7. And Ed, could you read maybe, what do you have, verses 15 through 20?
Yeah, that's what I have.
Okay.
Just different sections in your Bible. It has little titles in it.
Right.
This section in the Modern King James says a tree and its fruit.
Okay.
Starting with verse 15 of Matthew 7. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them."
Hmm. So, Ed, can you think of anywhere in the Bible where it kind of sounds this down as far as what are the fruits? How do we tell what a good fruit looks like versus bad fruit?
It's important that we go to God's Word to find out, because in the first verse it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." They're going to tell you not the truth.
Correct.
They're going to tell you it's okay to do some of these bad fruits.
Right.
And it's not. And so Jesus is warning them of false prophets who come into you like sheep's clothing. We're just like you. We're Christians just like you. And they actually teach false doctrines. They teach a false way of salvation.
Yes.
And they try to make sin okay.
You know, this happened nearly 6,000 years ago in the garden. There were two trees.
Yeah.
And they were fruit trees.
Yeah.
And they had a choice. They could eat the good fruit, which was to eternal life.
Which was approved by God.
Absolutely. Or they could eat the bad fruit, which actually was of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which could cost them their eternal life.
Yeah.
So while it might have looked delicious and the tree might have been beautiful, it says that it was nice to look at. It looks so good.
Yeah.
Eating it cost eternity. So identifying the fruits of this world and versus the fruits of God's Spirit is right. So important.
So, you know, it reminds me of a text in Isaiah 8:20. So how can we know these false prophets?
Okay.
And we're going to look at the fruits here in just a second. It says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word," the word being God's word, the Bible, "it is because there is no light in them."
So the key is speaking according to the Bible and not according to what I think.
Not according to Mark or Ed or Rick or anybody else here at Prophecies of Hope
or any preacher.
Your preacher or your church.
Right.
But according to God's word.
Amen. If they speak not according to God's word, then they're not speaking the truth.
Then they're a false prophet.
That's it.
They may come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves trying to destroy you.
So, you know, these illustrations that are used in the Bible, Jesus is called the Lamb of God, right? And we're to be sheep-like people. So it's so easy for us to be misled if we don't have our eyes on Jesus Christ.
Right.
So again, you know, we've talked about this many, many times. Jesus is he's our advocate.
Mm-hmm.
He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. We need to look to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's our comforter,
right?
So we need to look to him. And if we're not looking to him and we're looking to a church or a denomination or a ministry or whatever it is, yes, we can have fellowship, but we have to check for ourselves and make sure.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, I saw just some simple guidelines for studying the Bible.
Hmm.
And this was written back in the early 1800s by a gentleman that was a preacher. And one of the things that stands out to me is, why would you depend your eternal life on another sinful man's opinion or another one's faith? Look in the Bible for yourself. make sure you understand what the Bible says yourself. So it's your own faith,
right,
and not somebody else's.
And when somebody is reading text to you, open it up and look at it. Because sometimes when I'm reading, I'll leave out a word accidentally, mm-hmm, and it changes the whole meaning of the, yeah, topic. And then when I look at it, it's, oh, I didn't read that right.
Yeah.
And one little word can change the whole meaning. So look at it as long as they're reading it. Look at it with your own eyes. And that's why we invite you, open your Bible here with us.
And if you think, well, I can't understand this. I can't understand the Bible. Pray the prayer that we always pray. Mm-hmm. Ask God for wisdom and knowledge. Ask Him to guide you by the Spirit of truth, and He will do it.
Amen. He will do it. So, we're going to talk about this today. We living our lives in accordance to the things that we're learning. In other words, having that fruitage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we might be looking for something in the Bible to try to adjust it to my lifestyle.
Right, exactly.
Right? So where do we begin, Ed? Where would you like to start?
Why don't we go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5.
All right. Galatians 5. When I was a child, my mom taught me these verses where I think you're going to take, mm-hmm, us, at least part of what we've talked about. Maybe we should read prior to that, too.
Yeah, I think it would be good because we're talking about you'll know them by their fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a good tree brings forth good tree, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. So I think this is a good definition. What is evil fruit and what is good fruit?
Mm.
And so let's look at probably starting in verse 16.
Okay. Are you reading or am I reading?
Why don't you go ahead and read that?
All right. I'll try to read this. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16, I'm reading from the New King James. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
So here we have a contrast of the evil fruit and the good fruit.
Right.
The good fruit is walking in the Spirit. The evil fruit is walking in the flesh.
Right. In other words, doing the things that I want to do.
Right.
And then verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
So what is the key? Those that are Christ.
Right.
That's what you read.
That's what it says.
Yeah, those that belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust.
So there's quite a contrast here between, look at this list of things that the works of the flesh. And, you know, all of these things are contrary to the commandments of God.
Right. God created us to live a life that was according to the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm.
But sin came into this world, and now we have these fruits of walking in the flesh.
Right. And that, see, that's the thing. If Adam and Eve had partaken of the tree of life instead of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this contrast, we wouldn't see it.
It wouldn't exist.
It wouldn't exist. There would be no sin. And this is where God wants to get us, to where we don't sin anymore, to where all of these things are behind us, all of this this sinful tendencies that we have now.
You know, some people may say, well, you know, there's no way I can be good enough.
Mm.
You know, well, you know, not one of us are good enough. But God has sent his Son not only to die on the cross and provide forgiveness for our sins because of his blood that was shed, but he's also sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts.
Yes.
So to give us power to have these good fruits.
Amen.
To overcome walking in the flesh. And, you know, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay.
And I just want to read verses 9 through 10. It's going to list some of the same characteristics of walking in the flesh that you just read. This, again, is the modern King James, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Mm. Do not be deceived. You know, this is what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7. Don't be deceived by false prophets.
Right.
That come into you looking like sheep, but they're actually ravening wolves.
Mm.
Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. These are the fruits of walking in the flesh. But verse 11 is key. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It's that relationship with God and his Son, God through his Son, that we're changed, that we're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified because of what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, and this justification doesn't justify us to keep breaking the law.
Right.
It doesn't justify us to keep doing these things. It justifies us so that what we have done in our past is forgotten, and now we can work on that sanctification process, that part of making us holy.
Don't let Satan deceive you and convince you that you can't overcome whatever things that you're dealing with in your life. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our strength is not in ourselves. It's come from Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
From the Spirit of Christ dwelling in me.
Yes.
This is why it's called the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
It's the fruit of the Spirit of Christ that dwells in me. So this, and the Spirit of, he brings me the Spirit of God also.
Yes. No one can overcome these difficulties that we face in our life, these sins that are in our lives. No one can do it on their own. It can only be done through the Son of God.
You know, there was someone who Jesus had forgiven, and he said, go and sin no more.
Yes.
Right? He didn't say, go and try not to sin.
Right.
Go and, you know, I'll keep forgiving you if you keep doing this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Go and sin no more. He wouldn't have told that woman those words if it wasn't possible.
Back to Matthew 7, you know, Jesus is talking about good fruits and evil fruits.
Mm.
And he says in verse 18, a good fruit cannot bring forth evil fruit.
A good tree, right.
Nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So why is that? You know, it made me think of some verses in 1 John chapter 3.
Okay.
Can we turn there?
Sure.
And see what Jesus is talking about. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit.
All right. 1 John 3.
Yeah, I want to read verses 1 through 10. And this is, again, the modern King James Version. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world did not know God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But what But we know that when he shall be revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope on him purifies himself, even as that one is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, for sin is, I'm going to change the King James, transgression of God's law. And you know that he excuse me. And we know that he was revealed that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He was revealed that he might take away our sins. We have forgiveness of sin through Christ because of his death on the cross. His blood that was shed, he paid the penalty for my sin. Verse 6, everyone who abides in him does not sin. Let that sink in a little bit.
Yeah.
Everyone who abides in Christ does not sin. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 7, 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits.
Right.
Because those are the people that abide in Christ.
Hmm.
Verse 6, everyone who sins has not seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Jesus is talking about, don't let these false prophets deceive you in Matthew 7. He who does righteousness is righteous, even as that one is righteous. He who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was revealed, that he might undo the works of the devil. Don't miss that. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was revealed to you and me that he might undo the works of Satan. Everyone who has been born of God, verse 9, does not commit sin, because his seed remains in him. Christ remains in you, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God are revealed, and the children of the devil. Everyone not practicing righteousness is not of God. Also he who does not love his brother. So when Jesus talks about a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits, he's talking about those that dwell in Christ, that those that dwell in him are going to be able to overcome sin in their lives because of the fruit of his Spirit that dwells in us.
You know, this is powerful, because, you know, you think about good fruit and bad fruit. Yeah, you can't get an apple from an orange tree.
No.
So what he's saying is a tree that is rotten cannot produce good fruit. And so if I'm rotten in the heart, if which we are, that's the way we're born. We're born with rot in our hearts because we're born as sinners.
Right.
So the only way we can overcome that is through Christ Jesus. He can help us, and he can he can give us, what did David pray for?
Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me, that spirit of Christ. And by Christ, the Spirit of God can dwell in us.
So David knew and understood that there was nothing good in his heart.
Right. You know, in verse Matthew 7:16, it talks about, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns? Can you get good fruit from an evil tree, or figs from thistles? No. So it shows us that a good tree brings forth good fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And so it is with every one of us who lives on this earth. We have a choice to make. Do we choose to want to follow God? Do we want to obey his commandments? Because sin is disobedience to God and his law. Do we want those laws written on our hearts and in our minds, so that we can be faithful to God and his Son? You know, people say, well, it's not fair that I'm born as a sinner. Well, you know what? I agree with you. It's not fair.
Right.
But God in his love has created a way through his Son, Jesus Christ, at great cost to both him and his Son, to have the ability to overcome sin and to become righteous because of Christ dwelling in us.
God has given us a way out,
yes,
in other words. Because when we're born into this world, unless we accept Christ, there's no way out. There's no way that I can overcome.
Right.
And so some might say, well, what about people who don't, who have never known of Christ, or maybe never, they've never heard of him.
Right.
Well, the Bible gives us evidence in Romans chapter 1.
Right.
In fact, I'll just read that. Let me find it.
It really basically says no one has an excuse to not go because know God, because God has revealed himself to them.
Right, through creation.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's the thing. If we just use the brain that God gave us, the abilities that he gave us. It says here, for since this is Romans 1:20. Actually, I'll back up to verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppose the truth and who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them.
Yes. So
that's what it says. God has shown it to them. And then verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So this is saying that when we look around at the beauty of what God has made, you know, when I go up into these mountains here, the Blue Ridge Mountains, mm-hmm. I can't look at it and say that this just happened. When I look at how we're made, Ed, you know, the human body is pretty amazing. Have you ever cut yourself and didn't know it? And you cut, and
yeah,
you look
at it
and say,
come from?
Yeah. How'd I get that? Yeah. Your body has already started healing itself. Yeah. And that's all by design. So when we observe these things, there's no reason to not believe. And so those who don't know Jesus or never knew Jesus in the way that we're talking about through the Bible, God is looking for a way to save you. He has given us the way of salvation, and he is not looking for a reason to condemn you.
Right. That's what John 3:17 says. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world,
right,
but that through him they might be saved.
Right. And it's not an excuse to say, well, I don't want to know. I know that God knows that I believe. No, we're held accountable. Right. In this world that we live in, at least here in the United States right now, there's no accountability.
No.
You know, people can do whatever they want, and, well, I'm not accountable. I'll hire a lawyer that'll get me off of that.
This is the fruit of walking in the flesh.
Yes.
This is the way of Satan. This
Absolutely.
Is what Satan is trying to make the world to be.
And he succeeded in yeah. getting the majority of the world to follow him.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about last week. That road to life is narrow, and it's only a few find it.
And if you're running with a crowd that is very involved in these walking in the flesh, they're not going to appreciate you telling them about walking in the Spirit.
Very true. And, you know, we know a person who, and we've mentioned this before, because it has such a big impact on me, that's why I'm bringing it up again, who lived a lifestyle that wasn't according to what God wanted. And when that person changed their life and wanted to do the will of God and is doing the will of God, those people cut them off.
Well, that person's friends were saying, come back to us.
Yeah.
Come back to this old lifestyle. And they didn't like the change that this person experienced because they knew and understand God and his son Jesus Christ and wanted salvation and a
Amen.
Changed life.
Amen. And so the devil's not going to, if you have a heart for God, the devil's not going to just go away quietly.
No.
You know, when Jesus was baptized, after he was baptized and he went out into the wilderness, the devil pounded him for 40 days and 40 nights. He was put to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And this will happen. We're not saying this is easy.
How did Jesus overcome?
He relied on the Father for everything.
Yeah, by the Spirit of God.
Yes. And when the devil challenged him, he would answer with a Bible verse.
Yeah. Even after his resurrection, I hope you people listening hear this, on the road to Emmaus, he was walking with the two men, and they were talking about things that had just happened, the death of Christ. And he asked them, well, why are you so sad? Why are you talking about these things? And he opened the scriptures mm-hmm. and taught them out of the scriptures that these things were to have happened.
Yes.
And when he met with the disciples afterwards, he did the same thing. He opened the Bible, opened the scriptures, and taught them from the scriptures.
Amen. And that's so important. And this is the only way that you're going to get good fruit. Good fruit doesn't come from the heart of men.
No.
There are sincere men who want to preach the Word of God, but you have the responsibility of making sure that the things they're telling you is coming from the Word of
yes.
God.
And especially us.
Yes. Yeah, anybody.
Yeah.
And especially us, because sometimes, you know, the things that we have learned from our study of the Bible, when we share it, it sounds very convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will just take it at face value. Well, I trust Ed.
Yeah.
I trust what Ed says. He's not going to mislead me.
Don't trust us. Trust Jesus Christ, the
Amen.
Son of God. Look at His words, His life.
Amen. So these things are so important, friends. So we're here in Matthew chapter 7. The verses that we're considering is verses 15 through 20. And, you know, the verse 19 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Right. Those that walk in the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what mm-hmm. we read in Galatians chapter 5.
And, you know, we just had a Bible series 2 weeks ago, and we talked about this fire.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't an eternal burning fire, but the results of that fire are eternal.
Right. This fire is so hot that it consumes what it's burning.
Yes. And the Bible's very clear on that. And, you know, if you have any questions about that, if you say, well, that's interesting, I'd never heard that before, you can go to the website and you can look up the topic, what did Jesus say about death and hell?
Yeah.
And there's a whole lecture on that topic. It's not comprehensive. There are things that we could have discussed.
You know what's amazing to me? I've thought about this, especially since we had the series, and this was talked about in the series, that there's so many Christian churches that profess to love everyone and want to save everyone,
mm.
yet they get so upset when people preach that the evil are not going to burn forever.
Yeah.
How is that? How does that contrast happen?
They
get upset, very mad and angry at people that show you just plainly what the words of the Bible say, that hell is a temporary thing. It's the cleansing fire of the earth, to cleanse earth
yes.
from death and sin.
Absolutely.
And those that want that lifestyle.
You know, if you think about it, Ed, you know, and we mentioned this in the Bible series, to believe that hell burns for an eternity perpetuates sin.
Yes, it makes whoever is a sinner an immortal sinner.
Right, and that's what God was trying to prevent in the garden.
Right,
and by putting what did he do there, Ed? He put two
angels.
Yeah,
flaming sword.
Yeah, right at the entrance to the garden.
Yeah.
To keep them from getting to the tree of life.
Right,
it wasn't because he didn't love them.
Right.
It was because he did love them.
Right.
How could you allow someone in that condition to live forever?
Not only did he love them, but he loved the rest of the universe to prevent this from spreading.
Absolutely. And boy, do we know about quarantining yes. now since 2020, right? Because the whole world pretty much had to conform. And so what God has done is he has confined sin to this planet,
right.
where it actually came to fruition, we
right.
could say, where it was openly exposed.
Right. And many may not know this, but sin did not start on this earth.
That's true.
Sin started with Lucifer, Satan in heaven, becoming disobedient to God.
You know, maybe.
And spreading lies about who God and His Son were, about their form of government.
I think that would be a good topic after we're done with this yeah. Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
Maybe I'm going to jot that down so that I don't forget it.
All right.
And we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Because that's interesting to a lot of people I've found, you know, because they think they don't think of the origin of sin. They just think of the devil.
Right.
They don't think about where did it start?
And what did Jesus tell the Pharisees that you're just like your father, the devil, because he lied from the beginning. And he also, in one place, says he was a murderer from the beginning.
Yes, it does. Yes, yeah. It does. So these topics are amazing. And again, that's rotten fruit.
Yes.
That's bad fruit. And so where do we want to be? You know, I don't know if you've ever eaten a piece of fruit that was bitter or soured.
You toss it away.
You don't want anything to do with it. Yeah. You spit it out.
Right.
But why is it in this world we seem to ingest these things? We see something as wicked on TV or on YouTube, and we continue to watch it.
Yeah.
Why?
Or maybe even start to do those things ourselves.
Right. Or maybe we're listening to a song, and we say, oh, this song's just riddled with bad language or false doctrine or whatever
just
it is.
Evil.
Yeah.
Immorality. People's lives, yeah.
And we continue to listen because, well, the tune is appealing.
Yeah. Yeah, Satan makes it appealing.
Absolutely. That's how he gets these things into your mind. And have you ever woke up in the morning and you had a song in your head and it kind of sticks all day? Well, you know, over the past couple of years especially, contemporary songs that you hear on the radio don't stick in my head because I don't listen to the radio when it comes to that. But just the other morning, I woke up and I had that song, I Saw a Man.
Yes, this is by Johnny Cash.
Yeah. And Johnny Cash did a song about, it was actually Jesus that he saw.
Yeah, in a dream.
In a dream.
Yeah.
And what, that song was stuck in my head all day long. And I love that. I love it when it's a biblical song.
Right.
You know, something that's comforting to me. But that's the thing, friends. These music is powerful. It's an avenue that the devil uses to plant this rotten fruit in our minds. Videos are another way. Advertising, all of those things.
Remember, Jesus came to undo the works of the devil.
Amen.
So if you invite him into your life, invite him into your heart, and start following him, those things will lose their appeal.
Mm. Absolutely.
You'll see the truth of the evil that's therein, what it has done to the world, what it's done to people, what it's done to the environment.
Right. And you might think, well, no, that's impossible. I love this music too much, or I love this or that too much. Well, you know, pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard prayer to pray, Ed. I know I've said this many times, to pray something that you enjoy doing, that God will take that away from you.
Right.
But if you recognize that it's sinful, if you recognize it's against God's commandments, or that it produces bad fruit, pray that he'll help you to recognize that and help you to want to get rid of that.
Right.
He'll do it. You have to want it. You have to ask for it. So it's amazing the power of prayer and the power of God's word.
So in verse 20 of Matthew 7, it says, therefore, the conclusion of the story I'm telling you is that by their fruits you shall know them. How they live their lives will tell you if they're an evil tree or a corrupt tree or a good tree.
And you know, you think about that. It's not only by what they say or do.
But
how do they walk their walk?
Yeah.
In other words, you know, If you go out with someone, maybe you're going to have lunch together, the way they conduct themselves at the table, the way they treat the waiter or waitress, right? The way they take care of their home or their car, you know, is my car, it doesn't have to be a good-looking car.
Yeah.
It can be an old beat-up clunker, but is it safe? Are the brakes good? Do I make sure the tires are good? Because all of those things, I don't want to hurt someone else.
Right.
And I don't want to hurt myself.
Right.
Also, what do they eat?
Mm-hmm. It's an important part about who you are. What do you take into your body?
Right.
Yeah.
You know. So,
what do you drink?
Yes, very important. And you know, these things. I know these are sensitive topics.
Yes.
These are not popular things to talk about, and that's why at the outset we said we're so glad that Ray gives us this platform.
Yeah.
And you know whether he agrees or disagrees, he allows us to be here.
Right.
And this is part of the beauty of the freedoms that we're given in this country of the United States for now.
Right.
But we're losing these. The tide is opposed to having these fruits. The tide of the world seems to be pressing against
every
aspect of it.
To be in the media this determination to call evil good and good evil.
Yes.
About people and events that are happening in this world. It's anybody with open eyes can see what's happening.
Right. And when you read those, when we read those, I guess I read them, you took us to Galatians 5. And when we read those things that are lined up there, I think you read 1 Corinthians. But it's a lot of the same things. These things are topics that today cause people to get angry.
Uh-huh.
People are they stand up. People have lost jobs because they're standing up for what's right.
Right. According to God's word.
According to God's word. Yeah. So when we read these things, for example, these things are controversial. When you say, look, it's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to commit fornication. It's wrong to worship an idol. But then it gets really personal when it talks about things like homosexuality,
right.
Drunkenness,
yeah.
Right?
Revelries,
yeah. Sodomy. I mean, these things are mentioned
right
in the Bible. And that causes problems in today's world,
right. Just
as the devil would have it. And he's trying to squelch or quiet or silence the word of God.
Today, the media is promoting these things.
Absolutely.
In TV shows, in movies, even on YouTube. And especially in the news, they color things to make these things appear okay, or people that promote these things
right. To
be okay. The devil is very active in the world. By their fruits you shall know them.
And you know, they have a phrase for this. They say if you speak out and say that things like homosexuality are wrong, they call that hate speech.
Right.
But actually it's love to tell people about
To want to inform people that this is going against the law of God and what the results will ultimately
right.
be. Why would you stand up to such persecution in today's world from media and people that are popular that would condemn you for saying some things?
Right.
Why would you do that?
And let me tell you, Jesus died for that person.
Yes.
For Jesus died for every person, whatever your tendencies are. But he lives to help you to overcome those things
right. That
will keep you out of God's kingdom. He wants you in the kingdom.
Right.
You know, there are clubs in this world, I think they're becoming few and far between, where they have certain requirements for you to join.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to have a certain income level.
Right.
Or you might live in a neighborhood that they have a town center, and they say, well, if you're not part of this neighborhood, you're not part of the town, you know, you can't have a voting cause in this town center meeting.
Uh-huh.
And that's fair. If you don't live in the neighborhood, why would I come from an outside neighborhood? Well, God has requirements. If you want to be in his kingdom, we have to live according to the standard that
right.
he has put forth.
Right.
There can't be sin. And so these things are, the world is all about, they say that's about love, love, love. But really, it has nothing to do with love.
You know, back in the late 1700s, during the French Revolution, they created a god. They said God was dead. They burned all the Bibles. They were persecuting Christians. They were uplifting immorality. And they created a god they called the Goddess of Reason. They would reason away sin. You know, they would make it reasonable to perform these sins. And it was such a godless country that 3.5 years later, they had to, by law, reintroduce God into their society.
Wow.
Because the society was so out of control. So what do we have today? We have, you know, the Bible says God is love.
Yes.
But society has made love and to be a God.
Right.
Not the God of the Bible, not the love that God showed us in his word, but to do the very things that God says is sin, that you're breaking his commandments. They call that love.
Right. If you have a child that lives in your home and you allow them to make the rules, you really don't love that child. You have to teach that child that certain things are right and certain things are wrong.
That's the job of a parent.
Right.
And society frowns on that.
They do. They do. I never would have dreamed that in this country they would make it wrong to discipline a child.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. And
no, we're not talking about child abuse.
No, not at all.
Just simple discipline.
Right, saying no.
Yeah.
My wife and I, we like to watch a program on TV. It's about training dogs. This guy, he's really good at it. And he takes these dogs that maybe they were abused or maybe they were strays, and he puts them into a home. And it's so neat to watch the change of these dogs from being unruly to being mannerly and kind and sweet. Yeah. And, you know, he even made the comment, some people say you should never tell a dog no. He said, that's a huge mistake. Yeah. A dog has to learn what that command means.
Right.
And it's the same with children today. Children aren't being told no. That's unacceptable. They're not told that.
Right.
And that's why society is becoming the way it is.
Right.
God has these commandments that he gave us to live by, they might seem restrictive in a world that we live in today, but they are actually for our better health, for our better life, for better relationships
better
with others.
Better society.
Yes, for a longer life.
Yeah.
And just everything is better as a result of following God's law. Everything.
It seems, maybe it's just because it's so prominent on social media and the media that we watch every day, that the majority of society doesn't want that anymore.
Hmm.
They'd rather have the ability to do things that not only against God's law, but against the law of the United States.
Right.
How often do we hear stories of these mobs of kids going to stores and just taking everything? They're not persecuted. They're not arrested. They're just allowed to do these things.
Right. In fact, for those of you who don't live in the United States, for those who live here, you know, and probably have heard this, but in New York State, and particularly in the city, they have made it a law. They, instead of saying, okay, we're going to continue to call it stealing if you steal something, they have raised the limit from, I think it was $100. Anything over $100 was a misdemeanor or a felony. I forget what the charge was. They moved it up to $1,000. So if somebody steals up to $1,000, $999 worth of goods, they won't be thrown in jail.
They won't be arrested.
They won't be arrested. They won't be charged.
Yeah.
And so what has that done? It's causing chaos.
It's causing evil to be made looking good.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's what they're telling people.
And this is what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about good fruit versus bad fruit.
Right.
This is what Paul's sounding down in Corinthians, saying, look, leave these lifestyles. And he even said, you read it, Ed, this is what some of you were.
Yeah. They've been washed. They've been transformed by Jesus Christ, the Son of
yes.
God.
So you might think it's impossible. You know, some people, they look at this world and they say, well, I can't survive unless I steal. Well, you know, sometimes it's very difficult for people in this world. God will make a way.
Right.
God will make a way. But you have to pray about it. We have just a few minutes, Ed. Did you have anything you wanted to wrap up with this good and bad fruit?
You know, I told you at the beginning I've been studying about John Wycliffe. Basically one of the first reformers in the Protestant Reformation, who translated God's word into English so the people could read it for themselves. So they weren't dependent upon the church.
Right.
The church at that time, even the people of the church, the monks, the friars, the priests, had no knowledge of God's word, and they would come up with these superstitions and these false doctrines that would just lead the people into sin.
Mm.
And not only did God's word provide a way of salvation for people, but it changed the society into a better society.
Yes.
And so I don't think people understand the power of God's word, that it can change your life, that it can just change the way you live, what you think about, what's important to you, so that you have this confident relationship with God and His Son, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, that you can put your trust in them, that they are faithful.
Amen. You know, my life changed dramatically as a result. I was always into fast cars and my business, and that was my main focus. And I never thought that would change. But now, there's nothing I like talking more about now than God's Word, the Bible.
Yeah.
And it used to be just business and cars, business and cars. I still love business. I still enjoy cars. Mm-hmm. I enjoy those things. But it's in a different order now.
Right.
God's word comes first. Doing the will of God comes first. And that's why I had to change how I even closed my business for God.
You know, it's interesting. Back then, they had no access or extremely little access to God's word, the Bible. Today, God's word is probably just about every language in the world.
Just about. More languages than any other book in the world.
And yet, it's so widely available, but so few people take the time to open it and read it. And so there's no wonder the world is the way it is today.
Amen. It's really sad. So friends, that's why we encourage you week after week, open your Bible, read it, study it, just read something and just think about it throughout the day. And start in the Gospels even.
Yes.
And it's a great place to start. Ed, we're out of time. And next week we'll pick up here in Matthew chapter 7. We'll continue on. And we'll get back to that, where did sin originate?
Yeah.
We'll get to that in the weeks coming. So thank you for this study. And friends, let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to open your word and see the difference between the good fruit that you provide and the bad fruit of this world. Father, help us to identify it in our lives. Help each of us to recognize the things that we need to get out of our lives. Help us to look to Jesus. Father, help us to read our Bible daily and to have a prayer life, to come to you in prayer. So please be with us until we come together again. We're grateful, Father, for these words that are in your Bible, and we're grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, thanks for putting up with me and my hoarse voice. And we hope to see you right here next week on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.